There's their take. Girls, we run this mother. There's your take. Girls, we
run this mother. And this is our take. Girls, we run this
mother. Our take with Jill Kasich and Stacey Slayton on the Horn. Girls, who run the world? Girls.
Happy Saturday morning from beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm Jill Kasich here with Emmy-nominated Stacey, Big Stace Slayton, still forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
And you are listening to Our Take here on the Horn. We got an action-packed show for you today, as I lie to you every week and tell you the same exact thing. We are going to talk Wimbledon, World Cup, and who are the MLB All-Stars.
The World Cup's not even interesting anymore, so I don't think we should talk about it.
Well, I just really wanted to go off the WWW alliteration, so
I'll give you that.
No, it's a very quiet moment in sports right now. I don't know. There's a lot going on, but not a lot going on. It's like you have Wimbledon and the World Cup and baseball still and NBA free agency, but there's a lot of crickets.
Yeah,
out there.
Well, the free agency, I mean, that was crazy, like from the start, and now it's just,
now
kind
just
of
died.
Quiet. And yeah. Of course, some people really like tennis. Some people really like soccer, but it's not, you know, it's not football.
No,
so
yeah.
It's not the main sport. Yep. So it's a quiet time. It is summertime. A lot of vacations going on. I'm going to go on vacation next week, which I'm excited about. But if there's any place cool that you guys are going to or looking forward to, text us in. We'll read that on air and share our experiences with vacations, too, because it is that time.
It's that time. And I'm looking for a Labor Day trip. So tell me where to go, people.
Some tips.
Tell me where to go. As always, you can get us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776, or on all of the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at This Is Our Take. We are watching the Wimbledon women's final or championship here in the studio, and they just
Serena
cut to Venus
down.
In the stands.
Sometimes I think that watching Wimbledon, it's more exciting just to see who's there. Because it's kind of like a who's
it
who.
Is a
I
who's
mean, Tiger
who.
Woods, I believe. I don't know if he's there today, but he's out there watching Serena.
They showed Bear
Grylls.
Yeah, that, yeah.
The guy who drinks his own urine?
Yes, him. He was there. He looked great. Very good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's all that urine. It brings out the endorphins.
Yeah. It really just like flushed up his face.
Or maybe
it's
the frogs that he eats.
And I don't know who this guy they keep showing in front of Venus is, but yeah, I'm all about him too.
Might be one of her coaches.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But there's always a who's who. Like so many people go to Wimbledon, the U.S. Open. Bradley Cooper is a big tennis fan. And I mean, it's like when you go to an NBA game and you look courtside in a New York, L.A., like who's there?
Yeah, the who's who.
Or you go to Toronto and Drake is just like going nuts on the sideline.
Isn't Wimbledon where Bradley Cooper and I forget who he was dating at the time, but they got into like a huge fight and they were like awkwardly sitting next to each other, but like not interacting with each other. And you could just cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah.
It looked like
it was either the U.S. Open or Wimbledon, I believe. It was really
so awkward.
It was really funny, though. And it's, you know, let's talk about cutaways in general, because there was also something on Twitter from an Astros game where this girl was watching, you know, from her TV, from her home, and they cut away to this guy sitting next to a girl, and it was her brother-in-law, and that was not his wife.
Oh.
So there's been a lot of times that you've seen, you know, these cameras cut away to these people, and they see that they're on TV, and all of a sudden they're like, crap, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And so it's
okay, that's so interesting. I wasn't going to bring this up, and I don't even know what it reminded me of, but did you see the whole Plane Bay saga?
Yes.
Okay, so if you missed it, it was on Twitter last week, I think, maybe the week before, but hashtag Plane Bay just took off. This couple, they weren't sitting next to each other on the flight, so they switched seats with this young woman, and they were like, oh, what if you meet your soulmate in the seat next to you? You know, just joking around, because that could happen on a plane. Well, she ends up sitting next to this very attractive guy, and the two of them are hitting it off. They're sitting in front of the couple, and they're hitting it off. And the couple, the whole time, the girl is recording, not recording their conversations, but she's sending like Instagram story updates, just saying like, oh my gosh, they're getting closer, or they just talked about this. She did a really good job of hiding their identities. Like if ever like a side of their face or a portion of their face was showing, she would white it out. But it took off, and the guy happened to be a former pro soccer player. He's Stuart Holden's brother, and the girl, she doesn't want to be known. But the guy just took it and ran with it, and he like try to capitalize on his celebrity. And the girl came out with a statement and was like, no, this is not okay. Like, give me my privacy, respect my privacy. And this is like a real story of digital media, social media in today's world and consent. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Like, now do you have to assume whenever you're in public, you're being filmed?
Yeah. I mean, at least I think it's just if you want to be on the safe side, you never know who's filming. You never know who's recording. Mm-hmm. A phone can be, and, you know, that's illegal. You can't record someone, right, without them knowing it.
Yeah. Well, I think that varies by state.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. My roommate's dog is in the studio with us because my roommate's out of town, and she just whapped her head on the table standing up. So if you heard a thunk, that's what that was.
I thought that was your elbow.
No, that was the poor dog. She's okay.
I was like, you didn't make a face, so.
Whoops.
Roxy's our mascot for the day.
Yes.
But yes, the girl came out, and she was very upset about it. And everyone, she had to change everything.
She deleted all her social media.
All of it, because she was just getting, I guess, hounded by all of this, so. Pretty crazy. I forgot how we got on that subject. Cutaways.
The cutaway at the game.
Sporting events. Yep. Yeah. Bradley Cooper. And I'm sure they since broke up. I bet that was
an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I
think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Awkward.
Yeah. Awkward. So interesting. But it is true. And I know I've been guilty of it before. You're out in public and you see something funny, whether it's someone wearing a funny outfit or someone having like, whoa, don't know what's going on there. Party girl voice is trying to come out.
Yeah.
Or someone, you know, having a meltdown or whatever it may be. And you try to record it. And I will say I try to be very good and not get their faces or like any distinguishing features.
Wait, so how often have you done this?
Not very often, but I did it once.
There have been occasions.
I forget where I was, like at Stagecoach or something, and I tweeted out a picture of someone. They were wearing like socks and sandals and eating like fried chicken in the grocery store. It was just like a horrible outfit. And I took a picture from the behind, and you couldn't see who they were, and you couldn't see anyone else around them. And a couple people like came back at me on Twitter, and I was like, look, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But also, I didn't say who this person was. There's no identifying features about this person, so whatever. Anyways, that's
how
all.
Dare you invade somebody's privacy? But speaking of people just going crazy and then everyone, you know, whipping out a phone to record it, I think I told you about this earlier this week. There's a video circulating on social media from, I think, Mesquite, Texas, about these women were super upset because they returned something and the store couldn't give them the money back on their debit card. They could only give them cash back. That was it. And these women were going crazy. It was just, it was so nuts to see. I mean, it was white trash.
Yeah.
And it was so inappropriate and so unnecessary and just like cursing out everyone, all the customer service people. And I don't know, maybe there was something she said that, you know, ticked her off. But it's just, people are just nuts.
Well,
absolutely crazy.
Yes, people are crazy. And I feel like if you are going to go off on someone and degrade someone like that in public, you deserve to be recorded.
Yeah.
It's like the lady who called the cops on that little girl that was like
selling
water or something.
Makes no
Come
sense.
On. Like, you deserve to be filmed and shamed for that. Don't do that.
So ridiculous.
All right. That was a good segue. Speaking of don't do that, let's get into it. Maybe. Maybe not.
That's not good. Is it not? No. 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 Don't do it.
No. No. Don't f*** with me,
all right? Don't do it.
Oh, don't do it.
Don't you put that evil on me!
All right, my don't do that happened this morning as I was getting my swole on at the gym. Just had to throw that in there, a little PSA. No, if you're working out and you're doing a circuit or you're doing a set or whatever, that's cool. But if you're using two machines and someone needs to use a machine, like, let someone jump in with you.
That's ridiculous.
Don't take up two machines and then take your sweet time and, like, stop and check your phone. Just, if you're going to take up two machines and not let someone work in with you, hurry up and get done.
Let me ask you this. Did this person do a gym selfie?
You know what? I wasn't paying that much attention, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Oh, my gosh.
They were that type. They had the, like, the wireless Beats headphones going and, like, all right, you do you, boo.
So annoying. Another thing that's really annoying is when somebody is a very proud owner of a pet,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even it's a parent. And but in this specific case, I'm talking about a pet. Do not show me. I don't need to see 100 pictures of your beloved cat. Show me one. Show me two. They're all the same after a while. And I'm calling out my colleague right now because Sean Clinch makes me stare at his cat's pictures all the time, every day almost. And I finally, I said, dude, once a cat pic, always, like, it's all the
it's
same.
Fine.
I know what your cats look like. They're adorable. They're so cute. But I don't need to see every picture.
Unless they're learning a new trick, like how to cook a filet mignon that they're going to serve to me, I don't want to see it. I don't care.
There you go.
That's it.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. All right, Dylan, you have a don't do that for us?
Yeah, I've got one this week. So last night, my mom found a dog in our yard that looks like it had not been taken care of for a while. Looks like it's been dumped, you know, all that stuff. So my don't do that is don't dump your dogs out in the country in 100-degree heat.
Yeah. Well,
and if you're missing your dog, if this dog wasn't dumped, please go to my Twitter at NotThatFry to see a picture. It's a small Chihuahua mix looking dog, so...
That's the worst. I absolutely hate that.
Yeah, just don't get a pet if you can't take care of it.
Yeah.
As I bring a dog in studio and she whaps her head on the table.
Hey, she is living the life right now.
She is. She's got all the love and all the cuddles.
We did get a text in updating us on some pop culture / sports. Kate Upton and Justin Verlander are having a baby. Congrats to them.
Congrats to them.
That's did not know that.
Huge news.
Jill, do you want to talk about your beloved Dodgers and how they're in the first place? The first place. Like you said, you took a picture from the behind.
My Dodgers are in first place. You know what? To be honest with you, I haven't really been paying attention to them much.
Why? Lately. Because you're just protecting your heart?
I'm protecting my heart. I can't get too excited about them in the first half of the season. So now that they're in first place heading into the second half, I can really start getting invested. We've talked about this. It's so much of a up and down roller coaster of emotions for me that I need to like step back for a minute. And then when it's go time, I'm there for them.
Uh-huh. Well, Speaking of the second half of the season, we're coming up on the All-Star break. At the All-Star break and the Home Run Derby. Specifically with the Home Run Derby. I mean, previewing it, like, what are you most looking forward to? Like, what do you like about this time of year and how things can really kind of turn around and people, you know, it's a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it a make or break, but you can see some people really turn it on after the All-Star break. And then you see teams go into this super hot and then they're not the same. And the same could be said if you're looking at it from a season standpoint, a team standpoint. On the flip side, with the Home Run Derby, a lot of times guys crush it in the first half of the season, then they go and participate in the Home Run Derby and they go cold.
Yeah.
Which is just so bizarre to me, but it's almost like a Home Run Derby curse, if you want to.
Yeah, or it's like they ran the tank empty.
Maybe.
During the Derby. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a really good like reset button time for teams. And it's always so interesting to me to go back and look at the standings and see who was in first place at the end of the first month of the season and where they ended up at the end of the season.
Is that why you don't care about the Dodgers being in first place?
I mean, I care, like I'm happy for them, but I can't get my hopes up anymore. You know, I really have to take it easy. And if they're in first place still in August, then like that's the train starts going and I start getting more and more excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to protect my vulnerable little black heart. Okay. And I don't want to completely crush it by mid-July.
So you just don't want to commit?
Yeah.
So I have commitment issues. Yeah. You're just playing games right now a little bit.
I'm not playing games. I'm just playing hard to get.
Hard to get.
Yeah. So I'm not, you know, not fully invested, not paying too much attention to it. And then it's all systems go in August.
Okay.
So
I get that. Well, we can continue talking about that on the other side. We're going to take a quick break. Real quick, though, on Wimbledon, we haven't even told you the score. Serena Williams and Angelique Kerber in the finals. Serena Williams, she dropped the first set, and she's trailing the second set 3-2. But we'll keep you updated throughout the show. But you're listening to Our Take on the Horn. I like these, Dylan. Nice jams.
Good call. Slow jams.
Welcome back to Our Take on the Horn. We were just getting into our All-Star Home Run Derby conversation, and we're going to continue that in just a second. I do want to read a text, though. We were talking about vacations, and Jill needs some suggestions. A texter says, for vacation, if you like islands, try Bermuda flights are plenty and affordable from Austin. Just an amazing place to go. Have you been to Bermuda?
I have not been to Bermuda. Okay. I have a friend that lives out there. But I think we're not doing the Caribbean for this trip.
Okay.
A bunch of Caribbean flights just went on sale, actually. But I think we're going to stay domestic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Got to root for your own country, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that. All right. So coming up, All-Star, not the All-Star, well, yes, All-Star game, but the Home Run Derby.
Do you watch the Home Run Derby?
I do occasionally, yeah.
The Home Run Derby is probably one of my favorite, like, offshoot sporting events.
Uh-huh.
Just because I think, too, having worked in baseball for so long, any baseball event is going to take precedent in my fandom. But there's something so fun about the Home Run Derby. And the players are so lax. Mm-hmm. And I love that the All-Stars who aren't in the Home Run Derby show up to support them. And it's just like shenanigans throughout. And it just seems like so much fun for those guys to be out there. There's no real egos down there. There's no, I'm on this team, you're on that team, we're enemies. Like, everybody gets along. And I love it. I think it's such a fun event.
Oh, I think it's so fun for fans. And it's the first time that you can kind of see team or these players mingle with players from other teams and get them together. And it's just fun as a fan to see them interact and have a good time and have fun because, you know, you kind of feel like you're a part of that in a way. So you want to look at the bracket here. So first up, you've got Jesus Aguilar going against Rhys Hoskins. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the Astros' beloved Alex Bregman, who has been on a tear this year, going up against Kyle Schwarber. On the other side, Javier Baez. My bracket just went away. Going up against Max Muncy. This is all the first round selections or matchups. And then Bryce Harper and Freddie Freeman. So, Alex Bregman, think he can take care of Kyle Schwarber?
Gosh, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Really?
I think Kyle Schwarber is going to go nuts.
Brett Sanders hates you right now.
I know.
And Astros fans.
I'm sorry. And Alex Bregman came through Round Rock when I was working for the Express. Great kid, so I hope he does well. I think Schwarber's going to go nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't, because he went up
so fast. I thought that they've
been
the Rangers affiliate for the longest time.
Well, when the Astros came through to play.
Oh, when they came through to play. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying he played in Round Rock.
Well, he did play in Round Rock.
But
not for the
Express.
Not for the Express. He played in Round
Rock. Jill, clarify.
For Fresno.
For Fresno. That makes more sense.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Who are you most looking forward to seeing, though? We don't have Giancarlo Stanton. No Aaron Judge is here. I mean, what's your take on how some of these guys, these big-time power hitters, whether they're having a successful season or not, opting out of the Home Run Derby? Because like I had mentioned in the first segment, you see that a lot of times where, and sometimes at this time of the year, they want that break.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Shin-Soo Chu getting his first nod for the All-Star game in his career and obviously very excited about it, but he had kind of said, you know, yeah, I was kind of planning on a break, but, you know, this is even better. But you know that there's a part of them that's like, dude, I need like five days.
I want to go to the Bahamas for 4 days. I just want to get out of here.
Those flights are really cheap right now. I got to take advantage. Got to get some miles in there.
No, I agree. I think it's one of those torn things. And it's so funny because in the minor leagues, I mean, it's a struggle to get guys to go to the All-Star games just because you have that where guys are like, they get shut down by their the farm director or, you know, they are limited on pitches. And when I was in double-A ball, we actually didn't have enough pitchers for the All-Star game 1 year. And we had to have pitchers from the same team, from the South team, play or start for the North team. And they were, like, going against their own teammates. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Strange.
We just didn't have enough arms to get us through a whole game. So it's funny, like, in the minor leagues, it's just not – it's an honor and award, but it's not. Like, those guys really want their time off.
It's like, dude, it's not. I don't think it's worth my sleep.
Yeah.
I just want a few days to recover because it is. It's a, you know, if you're in the minors, what is it, 150-something games?
And then, of course, down to 140. But, 140 in about 150 games. Okay, who do you guys think is going to take the trophy home for the Home Run Derby? Get us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. It looks like,
oh my gosh,
we have a Wimbledon update.
She just went down. She just lost to Angelique Kerber in the finals. 6-3, 6-3 in a sweep. Just happened. I am shocked. Kind of.
Wow.
I mean, I am. But hats off to Serena for making it all the way to the finals when there was so much controversy that she came in seated 25th and everyone was upset about it. And then, you know, there was not a single – it's the first time in the Open era that there hasn't been a top 10 seed in the finals, and which is crazy because Serena is, you know – I mean, Serena, you still have Serena, but after being gone for so long, she had a higher seed or a lower seed at 25th. But, wow, crazy. All right, so Angelique Kerber is your Wimbledon finals champion.
Oh, my gosh. What an emotional moment. Oh, and then she goes up to find her husband,
like,
or her coach or someone in the stands. That's so cute.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in awe. Oh, this is so special, but I'm also heartbroken.
What a cool moment for her, though. And Serena, she just had a kid like 10 months ago, 11 months ago.
Something like that.
That's insane.
If you guys haven't seen her HBO documentary, Being Serena, it's really cool. It's really great to get an inside look at her and how, you know, sometimes all your access is, you see her on the court. She's obviously super dominant, super competitive. And then you see her in press conferences. And sometimes she can be a little feisty and fiery in a very calm way. But to see her in this documentary is just, it's just totally different. She's very, very soft, just a soft-spoken person. It's just a cool thing to see, and she talks about her struggles, which I applaud her for being so open. So, yeah, Serena Williams going down. Sorry to cut off our all-star conversation, but, yeah, what a moment. Absolutely crazy.
Yes. We did get a text on the text line while we were talking Wimbledon. Someone saying Rhys Hoskins is going to win the home run derby.
That's my pick, too.
They said raw power. So I get the raw power thing. He's so young. I just don't think that he's going to pull it off. I think the stage is going to get to him. I think the pressure is going to get to him, and he's not going to be able to do it.
It's very likely. I'm pulling for the underdog, though.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great. I mean, he's 25. It would be awesome if he could just go out there and crush it and win. I feel like the thing is, okay, you have the pressure for him as a hitter, but you also have the pressure that their pitcher is under because they choose their pitcher. You know, and so it's like if you're bringing your dad out there, dude, you better throw some balls right down the middle.
Yeah, it'll be pretty interesting. I feel like if I'm in Vegas, I would definitely go with Rhys Hoskins, though, because he's probably got kind of some lower odds. I feel like the most likely to win will be Schwarber or Harper.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Harper, too.
Yeah, for sure.
He's one of those guys that you hate him when he's not on your team and you love him when he's on yours.
Like Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
But just trying to get you all fired
you
up.
You are getting me going on a Saturday morning. No, I'm excited for Bryce. I think he's just one of those players that like has rejuvenated the game to the younger generation, and I think he's fun to watch, and he gets it.
Do you think there's this crisis in baseball that has kind of been a narrative for the last few years of, you know, younger people don't watch baseball? What do you think about that? Because I think if you agree with that argument, a lot of people say, well, that's why Bryce Harper is good for baseball, mm-hmm. because it brings in a different crowd and, you know, it brings more excitement to it. What's your take on that? Because I don't think there's anything wrong with baseball, but a lot of people do. They think it's too slow. They mm-hmm. think for our generation and even younger, you know, our attention spans are way too short.
Yeah.
And so to sit through a 3.5-4 hour game, which, let's be honest, college football games are becoming that.
Ridiculous. It's insane.
Side note, but back on baseball, do you think there's a problem? Do you think there's any validation to that narrative?
I think there is to an extent, and it's interesting to see, especially after my 10 years of working in minor league baseball, major league teams are taking on a lot of the things that minor league teams did, that they kind of look down on minor league teams for doing to an extent. They're doing some of those goofy promotions. They're doing the fun theme nights and all that stuff to bring in that younger audience. They realized it was working at the minor league level, so they're bringing it to the major league level, and you're seeing a lot of that get incorporated now with these major league teams, which I think is awesome. They're also doing a lot of things to speed up the game. In the minors this year, they started when you are in extra innings, you start with a runner on second. It's just things like that where all of a sudden you're not seeing these 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 inning games in the minor leagues that you were before. They're now like 10, 11, 12. If mm-hmm. you know, you're scoring pretty quickly in them. So they're doing stuff to speed up the game overall. And obviously they're being a lot more experimental in the minor leagues and the lower minor leagues, and stuff is slowly trickling up to the major leagues. And so I think they realize they do need to speed up the game. It is very interesting when you brought in the analogy to college football, because that is what's happening. College football games now are suddenly becoming a four-hour ordeal, and nobody has an issue with sitting through that. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me that it's because of the action, because the action comes in like 10-second spurts. You know, it's not continuous action on the field.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I think that there is – I think baseball's doing a good job of realizing they probably have to adapt a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, baseball just isn't everybody's sport. You know, we always joke it's a smart person's sport. But there are just some people who can't sit and just watch a baseball game. You know, and we talk about, like, a no-hitter is one of the most exciting baseball games you could watch.
And, like, nothing happens.
Yeah. But if, like, you're not a big baseball fan, you're like, literally nothing has happened in this game. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, if you're a huge baseball nerd like we are, you're like, no, everything has happened in this game. Like, you know, and you're breaking it down. And,
No, I think that's
a good
point.
There's a problem, but I think that changes need to happen to keep that younger audience entertained.
Okay.
But then again, I question the younger audience's entertainment choices right now with like these annoying YouTube stars they follow. And it's like the stuff that entertains them, I'm like, okay, you can keep that. Don't ruin baseball for me.
What, like eating Tide Pods and stuff?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Can somebody, is that a millennial thing or is that a, because we're now getting to, who's
there's
behind
There's a new
millennials?
Generation. I don't know.
You and I are old millennials. Mm-hmm. So we are on the elder scale. So
yeah.
We do not eat Tide Pods, but we do like our social media and our apps and all that kind
and
of
I
stuff.
And I love me some avocado toast.
The
all
best.
Day, every day.
You guys can call me basic all day. I don't give a crap.
Three meals a day. I'm a happy camper.
Interesting how avocados have made this huge comeback. I don't know. We're like, dude, they've always been good. Been here the whole time. Okay, let's get to the text line. We got one person texting in for, I think, a vacation spot, Missoula, Montana.
We were actually looking
I've actually heard that's a cool little town.
Yeah, we were looking at Boise, Idaho. We were looking at some spots like up north, where we could kind of just
cooler.
Go and get away. Yeah, we were thinking like a lake house maybe. So Missoula is definitely in the running. So thank
hot
you for
AF
confirming that.
Here in Texas.
Yeah.
And then back on Hoskins, this texter texted back in. I don't mind him on the other team. He'll probably strike out. He's been really struggling this year.
I think that was on Harper.
Oh, Harper.
Okay.
Yeah. The people have spoken.
You don't mind Harper on the other team right now, but when he's good, do you mind him on the other team?
Yeah,
I think that's the question.
It's like, I think a lot of people felt like that with Ian Kinsler, too.
Yeah.
He was just one of those, and probably Jose Bautista. I don't know. Did Blue Jays fans like, I'm sure they liked Joey Bats, but everybody else couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
Can't stand him.
He didn't even do anything to me or like any one of my teams, really.
Well, yeah, do you know
like
him?
No.
Do you know him for him to do something? He hasn't done anything to anybody
no,
in that
No, but
case.
I mean, like, he hasn't done anything against any of like he hasn't done anything against the Dodgers that I would just hate him for, you know? So
yeah, but you haven't been paying attention, so how would you know?
I would know.
I'm just kidding. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be listening to Our Take on the Horn.
Welcome back to Our Take on the Horn. You're listening to Jill Kasich and Emmy-nominated Big Stace. Stacey Sladen. If you missed us last segment, we were talking about the MLB Home Run Derby and also Wimbledon. Breaking news while we were on air.
Yeah. Angelique Kerber sweeping Serena Williams in straight sets.
Yeah. Not only winning, sweeping.
Yeah. 6-3, 6-3. I believe that's her third major championship.
Yeah. I think that's.
And
that's
but hats good. Off for Serena getting all the way to the finals after everyone said she wouldn't, shouldn't, didn't deserve to be seated in the top 25, and she still made it all the way.
She was like, I'll show you.
Exactly.
I'll show you what's up.
Just giving her some bulletin board material.
Yes. All right, coming up this week is one of the most fun events in baseball, the MLB All-Star Game. Again, last time we were talking about the Home Run Derby. We want to get into the All-Star Game itself and look at those rosters. If you guys have any opinions on the All-Star Game or the Home Run Derby or Wimbledon or the World,
World Cup.
Which Belgium defeated England 2-0 this morning. So the final game is tomorrow at 9 a.m.
2-0. How many times do I have to tell you? You're the big soccer aficionado. You talk about it all the time, and you can't even get your scores. You can't even get your terminology right. 2-0.
Sorry, it took a second for the eyes to unroll from the back of my head.
I thought they were stuck at one point.
Yeah, well. So the big game is tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Croatia and France. So good stuff there.
Francais, parlez-vous francais? Also, if any of you guys care about the John Deere Classic, there's no one really important and cool in the top five. So
don't care about it.
It's
anymore.
it's actually says the play has been suspended in round three due to inclement weather, but Michael Kim is the leader. Actually, hasn't teed off yet because they have
inclement weather
suspended play. But he leads by 3 strokes at 15 under, and will tee off at some point. I don't know, but. Yeah, no big names in contention for that. All right.
Well, there we have it. The Specs text line. Yes. Join the conversation with us. Get us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You can also get us at all the social medias, on all the social medias at This Is Our Take. One thing, we were actually talking about this during the break, but I was going through the All-Star League or the All-Star rosters. And for the National League, saw that Matt Kemp is starting, which, you know, Dodgers, great, go mm-hmm. team. And it's just, it's so funny to me how players can go from so bad to so good in a season.
Or the opposite.
Yeah, or the opposite.
And just
so great and
completely drop
it.
Off.
Yeah.
Like, it is so bizarre to me how that can happen.
Yeah. Well, and Matt Kemp, when he came back to the Dodgers in this offseason, it was like, well, they're taking him, but they're taking him so that they could get rid of some salary money. And
right.
they're just going to, like, turn around and dump him again. And they kept him. And I just remember throughout the season, you know, scrolling through Instagram, and it's like, player of the game, Matt Kemp, player of the game, Matt Kemp. It seemed like every other game, he's the player of the game. Mm-hmm. And now he's a starter for the All-Star team. And it's just, it's crazy to me, this guy who you were like, oh gosh, we have to take him back on. And now he's carrying your team.
Yeah. Well, and then also, I mean, you want to talk about a drop-off, like Tim Lincecum, like whatever
oh,
happened
yeah.
to that guy, you know, and tried gosh. To make a comeback being with Rangers. And it's just like, it's like, how do you just lose it?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as an insult. It's just, it's baseball is such a hard game. Okay, speaking of the All-Star roster, Charlie Morton, the Astros, was added to the roster just mm-hmm. recently. So I believe that makes the Astros, it gives the Astros six representatives.
Six of them. Yeah.
Because there were five when they came out. It was Alex Bregman, George Springer, Jose Altuve, Justin Verlander, and Garrett Cole, who has just been freaking, I mean, talk about a great move that the Astros made in the offseason to get mm-hmm. him. And then the Rangers, don't worry, the Rangers are going to kill it. They've got one representative, probably won't play that much, Shin-Soo Chu. But very cool in his 14-year career,
yes.
finally getting an All-Star nod.
Yes.
And he's still, I believe he still has his on-base streak going. It was 48 last I checked.
I was going to say, I think he does. So that's, yeah, good for him. He'll get
yeah.
one at-bat in the All-Star game. So
Rangers history.
You know, that's awesome.
Very cool for him.
Okay, what's your thought on the All-Star game and that, like, everybody plays mentality? Do you think that should be used by the managers in the All-Star game, or do you think it's a game and
play to
win? It
should be more competitive?
Yeah.
I go back and forth. Part of me is like, yes. I think when the home field advantage in the World Series is on the line, mm-hmm. it should be more competitive, and
yeah.
you should manage it, and you should, you know, have more strategy instead of, all right, let's get all these guys in. But when, you know, something like that isn't on the line, then I think it's easier to just kind of be like, hey, go out there, have fun. And also, you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to exert
yeah.
yourself too much to where, you know, you talk about how team's season can just, like, curtail after the All-Star break. You know, you don't want your
yeah.
big stars coming back injured and roughed up. But when, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's more of just like a fun fan thing. And it's fun for these players to get together. But it's not necessarily, you know, let's see the best of the best compete against each other. Because,
yeah,
not, I mean,
they're not going all
they're
out.
They're not going all out. What do you think about it?
No, I agree. I mean, it was still so weird when home field advantage was determined by this game. And I know Chad and Kevin got into that debate too on Friday, but it was just weird that this game determined home field advantage. It seemed a little unfair.
I know.
So yeah, it was like play to win, because
yeah.
if you as a manager, your goal is to play in the World Series, so you want to give yourself home field advantage,
right.
you and your team. Now that there really isn't anything on the line, I think just go out and have fun. Don't
yeah.
exhaust guys. And the thing is too, you have guys like Shin-Soo Chu where it's his first All-Star game. Let him enjoy it. Like,
mm-hmm.
get him out there. Let him, like, get a couple outs, or, you know, let him get a couple at-bats. But give these guys a chance to, like, to soak it in, because it may be their only All-Star game.
Very true. We got a text in, what big game tomorrow? Did you say there's a big game tomorrow?
Yeah, I did.
Are you talking about soccer?
There's the World Cup, the championship, the finale.
I think
finito.
CB was being All sarcastic, fin. Because nobody cares about that except for you, Jill.
What big game happens in 49 days?
Texas football.
I was about to say football season.
Texas football.
I was just kidding. I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
CB also texted that
Dylan's about to get real upset.
Yeah.
How did you
not know? That was the second half of CB's text, so I just wanted to throw that back in his face.
On that note, Texas in the preseason Big 12 poll.
Yes.
A lot of people voting them to finish fourth in the conference. I don't think that's too much of a... I don't think stretch is the right word. I think that might be accurate because, again, they still haven't proven. Like,
yeah.
It's only Tom Herman's second season.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, because Texas does not do well without a solid quarterback, obviously, but at least now we know both guys competing, Shane
mm-hmm.
Buechele, Sam Ehlinger, they're seasoned a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, the last 2 years it's been a freshman And, you know, you can say going back and forth with the sophomore at the helm. But when Texas is relevant and when Texas matters, it's they've got, you know, someone so solid at the most important position on the field. So,
yeah.
But what I hate about that is that neither of those guys are going to be at Big 12 Media Days. Don't forget that's coming up on Monday and Tuesday. Texas will go on Tuesday at the Star in Frisco, Texas.
Are you going? Are you going up for Media Days?
No, that's my thing is because I'm the weekend sports anchor, I fill in for, you know, my boss when he's on the road. So it's more anchor time for me, even though personally I'd rather go to the event. But I've gotten some cool trips out of it, so I won't complain. But yeah, I'll be back in studio.
Okay, but you've done Media Days before.
Yeah.
What's so crazy about it?
Like, it's just a free-for-all. I mean, there's so many people everywhere you look. And it was like this for Media Night for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. which was the Monday before the actual game. And it's, you know, everyone's available. Like, each team brings four guys, I believe. And you have the coaches, and you talk to all the coaches in the conference. You can talk to all the players in the conference. There's just so many people, and you try to stock up on sound too, because this is your time and this is the time that you have access to them. And then there's still several weeks before the season actually starts, or before, you know, then they get into fall camp, but we're, you know, limited on sound and interviews that we can get with the teams that we cover specifically. But yeah, I mean, it's just nuts. There's just so much going on, but it's cool because I think people are a little bit more relax. They know that they're there to talk to the media. So it's not just, I just got to get through this 5-minute interview and then I'm out of here. So I'm only going to give you, like, you know, just a few questions.
Well, and yeah, it seems like it's a more fun time with everybody, right? Everybody's a lot more relaxed. There isn't that pressure of the season on them yet. So
yeah, it's very true. Everyone's optimistic. It's like spring training.
Oh my gosh. Everyone's going to
training camp. You know, everyone's like, this is our year. We're going to be this is the best we've, you know, whatever.
We did just get a text in that said, if the Horns finish 9-3 and win tiebreaker for second place, but lose in the Big 12 title game and then lose a bowl game to finish 9-5.
Ooh.
How that season
would
be.
No, it is way too early for me to do like a 3-part question.
Essentially, if the Horns, if they finish second place in the Big 12, but then lose a bowl game and Big 12 title game.
Right, that season overall, clearly it's progress. I think a 9-5 season is very, when's the last time Texas has had that?
Yeah, well, and you look at regular season, 9-3. I mean, that's still great, right?
Absolutely. I think if you get to 9 wins, I think that's a great season for Tom Herman's second year here and everything that they've been through the last, 4, 5, 6 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would rate that very high. And I would think that, I don't know, I mean, UT fans, you guys can chime in on this. What do you think? Do you think a 9-1 season would be a little bit more acceptable? You would have to.
I was going
to
say, and that's it. Like, UT fans, what are you looking for? Like, what is your threshold for a successful season?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you guys, at the end of the year, be happy about? And yes, I know, obviously, winning it all is what everybody wants, but where are you going to be happy?
Exactly. Well, and I think there's maybe, and this is just like Cowboys fans, and I'm a Cowboys fan, you know, we're hanging on to our history and our tradition, mm-hmm. but we've been so bad in the last 20 years. And so you have to be realistic and you have to look at what you have now and what you've done recently and then set your standards. I'm not saying lower your standards, but I'm just, you know, let's look
be
at this
realistic.
With clear eyes.
Yeah.
Because come on, if the last decade has been not what Texas is accustomed to,
mm-hmm.
okay? So since, you know, and maybe not a decade, but 8 or 9 years, I would say.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's tough to pull back the rose-colored glasses and actually look at your team realistically. And like I said, everybody always wants their team to win the championship every year. But to look at it and say, like, hey, there are going to be some losses on our schedule. Like,
right.
It's okay. And you have to look at it as a progression year. It's still a building year. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see how fans react throughout the season and what goes on with that. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into some more fun sports talk. You're listening to Our Take on the Horn. Welcome back to Our Take on the Horn. If you missed it last segment, at the very end, we got into some UT football talk.
People are craving it right now.
Yes. So 49 days away from kickoff. You can get us on the Specs text line. Let us know what your outlook for the season is. 512-337-3776. You can get us on all the social medias at This Is Our Take. A couple of good texts we got in during the break. One said, depending who we beat, it'll be a good year. If we beat OU and USC, 9 wins will be a good year. If we lose to Tech and some other losses like USC or OU, 9 wins will be seen as okay. And Stacey and I were talking during the break. Yeah, it's, you know, you look at it, and maybe sometimes you don't want to rely on a number. You don't want to rely on 8 wins, 9 wins, whatever. You want to look at the schedule and say, okay, we want to beat these teams. But if you beat USC, if you beat OU, but you lose to Kansas again, I mean, is that really a victory on the season?
Yeah, I mean, you'd never want to lose to the bad teams.
Yeah.
And, like, look, Texas wasn't supposed to lose to Texas Tech last year, and it happened. Mm-hmm. And so, but then there were about 3 games that Texas could have won. I mean, you look at the Oklahoma State game, that was an overtime loss that, you know, very low scoring, could have had it in the bag. And I think that was the biggest knock on Sam Ellinger towards the end of the year specifically, is mm-hmm. that he couldn't actually get them to win these games.
Yeah.
And made some freshman mistakes. And so, yeah, you never want to lose to the bad teams. And it makes those wins over big teams look like a fluke.
Yeah.
In that case.
And it kind of deflates those wins a little
bit. Yeah. Either way, another text. My win total for Texas is at 8, as it was last year, until proven otherwise. I still think 8 is a solid. I mean, you know what? They were 7-6 last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you might be looking more for, if you're more ambitious, you want the 9 wins. But I think 8 is still reasonable.
Yeah.
It's trending upwards.
Yep. My question is, how long are fans going to give Tom Herman?
I don't know. I don't know. They're so hard to predict.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, and not just Texas, any college fan base.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's so emotional, and you want to win now, and that's the landscape. If coaches don't produce now, then we'll find somebody who will.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be kind of a perfect storm, too. It's got to be the right guy. He's got to be able to get in, establish his program, have talent who, you know, listens to your new leader. And talent and experience. So it's you know, sometimes I feel like it just has to be a, you know, the perfect storm and the right guy to navigate it. And then other times you can have a great coach who comes in and it's just, look, you gotta weather the storm
mm-hmm.
for a few years, and then maybe you'll actually see those results.
And that's the thing that's so hard with college athletics, especially. You can't go out and buy free agents. You know,
right.
So you have to recruit. You have to rely on your classes.
You
yeah, and you have to you have to look at the classes that you were gifted when you joined the program. You know, you have to make whatever you have work. And so you have to give new coaches a couple years to establish their program and to develop it. Whereas with professional sports, you can expect to win now because you can just go out and buy who you want to buy to build the perfect roster.
I'm curious what your thoughts are. Text in your thoughts on Tom Herman entering his second season, and if you guys do think he is the guy for the job, or if they jump too soon, jump the gun. I think Texas is fine with Tom Herman. I don't think he's like the next Nick Saban. I don't think he's the greatest thing ever, but I don't think he's. I think he brings a lot to the table, and I do think he has that mentality. He is a winner.
Yeah.
We just need to see, you know, it takes time. It takes a little bit of time. And,
yep.
You know, first season winning record, I know that wasn't at all what a lot of UT fans wanted to see. They wanted to see them win the national championship in his first season, but come on, guys, let's get real. We got another text in. This person has 5 wins on the season.
All right.
On that note,
that might be the most realistic text of the day.
Potentially. That's definitely not from Anthony Geronimo.
No, not at all. Yeah, it'll be interesting. But 49 days. So set those countdown timers. Get them going. Put the hot dogs on the grill. Not hot dogs. Put like brats and burgers.
I got to ask you, what jersey are you going to wear? Are you going to wear Texas
USC.
Or are you going to wear USC?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding you.
All right, this is the last taping of Our Take. Show's over. Show's canceled.
Just trying to get your take on it. And my take is that you wear all the shirts of all the teams.
Oh, 5 years for Herman, not 5 wins.
That the makes a
clarified.
Lot more sense.
Yeah. No, I'm for sure going with my USC outfit for that game. My parents are coming to town, so.
Nice. Wait, I just want to ask, 5 years for Herman to get them to a national title, or that's how much time you're going to give him to build this program back and, you know, get it to back to. All right. English, Stacey. It is your first language. I promise you guys, even though it doesn't sound like it. Yeah, let me know. Let me know what you guys, I'm really curious what a lot of people think. Another texter, second year would be awesome for Tom, but I give him 3 years. Okay, okay. So that's a tight leash.
Yeah.
3 years is a tight leash. So when you say you give him 3 years until you start calling for the next guy, if he doesn't give you 3 straight years of a bowl game, or if he doesn't give you 3 straight years, if you don't win the Big 12, what's your standard? What's your measuring stick here? I'm just curious what people really think and want.
We got another text and said, Herman will win here. The momentum is building. I say they make the college football playoff no later than 2020.
Okay.
So that I like that.
I think I do, too.
Patience is a virtue, young grasshoppers. So give your coach some time. Let the program build.
Mm-hmm.
You can't become an Alabama overnight.
Exactly.
Got to grow those shark teeth.
Grow those shark teeth. I like it. Nice.
Yeah.
No,
Saban's program
like
is like shark teeth. They just one falls off and another one steps in its place.
Okay, so this one, this texter texted in, 5 years is how much time you will give him. I guess just, and if, yeah. And then bring out your pitchforks if things don't get better.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a hot topic that I think Jill wants to get into.
I was thinking about it. I really don't want to get into it.
Oh, great.
It's.
I wish you had told me, because now I just teased everyone and they hate us.
You did. But it was.
Why, because it's disgusting?
Yeah, it was playing off of our wet wipe debate last week. And it, yeah. I get tongue-tied talking about it. It makes me so mortified.
I just don't like it.
But I'll just throw it out there really quick. gosh, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. Have you heard of cake farts?
It's like a YouTube video, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but it got brought up in conversation yesterday, and I was just it plays off of what we were talking about earlier. Like, the more I know about people, the grosser people are, and the less I want to be around them.
On that note, you know, I used to love flying, and I still like flying, but I used to love airports. And as I've become an adult, it's like
so
the worst place ever. But I don't know. I think when I was younger, I liked it just because everyone was going somewhere, and I don't know. The people watching is amazing, but then it's also awful at the same time. So
yeah,
it's not. Oh. It's not. It's no longer one of my favorite places.
And like, airplanes are just disgusting. I've become that person that like wipes down the tray table and the seats. Oh, yeah. It's.
Oh, you're the worst.
I'm sorry. And I'm not a germaphobe. It's so weird. Like, I'm absolutely not a germaphobe.
Girl, you got to build up that immune system. You can't just, you know, constantly make sure everything's super clean. Like, you got to expose yourself
to
some of those
germs. It's only on planes that I do it.
Oh, yeah?
It's so weird.
No, I'll be with you. Planes are gross.
Yeah. I don't know. Planes, airports, whatever. As you're getting ready to head to one next week.
Yes, I am.
All right.
What are your plans this weekend?
I was going to say, big plans to round out the weekend. I'm going to a rally cross event at COTA today.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. I think it's a mix of big trucks on tracks going over jumps. I'm from Southern California. I feel like I should know what it is, but I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm going. So if you guys are going out to COTA today, let me know. It should be fun. What about you?
I'm working. Per usual.
Working that 9 to 5.
We did get a text in. Best case scenario, 10-2, beat OU in Big 12 title game, beat Ohio State in Fiesta Bowl, 12-2, top 5. Worst case, 7-5. All right, so that is, you know, those high standards, which is good. It's good to have high standards.
All the texts are coming in at the last second. So, UT fans, we will get into this more next weekend, next Saturday. Same time, same place. We'll be right here. At 11 a.m. On behalf of Emmy-nominated Stacey Sladen, Dylan, our producer behind the glass, I'm Jill Kasich. Thank you guys for spending another hour of your Saturday with us. Whether you loved it, whether you hated it, this was our take.